Well, good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. We are so happy that you're with us this morning, whether in these pews or online, whether today or at some other time. As usual, that QR code will get you information about this church if you're new here. So please avail yourself of that if that's helpful to you. Thank you so much for all of those who participated in yesterday's spring cleanup. It looks wonderful out on the lawn there, and did lots of great work. So thank you to all of those who did that. And also, just one little announcement. I will be out of the office on Tuesday morning for an appointment, but I will be in Tuesday afternoon because I've got a couple of meetings. If you need me, please text me or send me an email, and I will get to you just as soon as I can. Emma Sperger has an announcement for us this morning.
Good morning. My name is Emma, and I'm one of this year's confirmation candidates. The soup luncheon is next Sunday, and we'll begin serving at 10:30. We will have a goodwill offering for the meal, though your past generosity, especially with the gift baskets and silent auction items, has already meant so much. Please just come and enjoy lunch with us. Members of Emmanuel Lutheran and United Methodist Churches have also been invited to join us as our partners in Vacation Bible School and friends within our community. Gift basket tickets will be available after today's service. Stop by, take a look, and place your bids. Thank you again for your incredible generosity and support.
Thank you. Great liturgist coming up, just saying. Any other announcements this morning? I think, Alana, you've got
a couple. I have a couple. As you can see on the screen, May 24th is the summer schedule, which will have one 9 o'clock service through Labor Day weekend. And then I have the May liturgist schedule sign-up sheet, whatever you want to call it, out on the butcher blog, so please sign up for that if you're available. And then also, I need a couple for coffee hour on May 10th, which is Mother's Day. Thank you.
Thanks. Anything else this morning before we start worship? Very good. Let's take a deep breath together as we center ourselves for worship.
Please stand for the call to worship. We arrive fully into this moment, Holy One. We open to sense your presence among us. We hear you say, I am present with you. We need you, Jesus, to help us. We come to you as your first disciples did. We hear you say, I am present with you. Join me in the opening prayer. God of relationship, God of relationship, you have told us you are as close as our breath. You have reminded us that you're with us no matter what life brings. Help us trust you as deeply as we trust our closest loved ones. Help us remember that no emotions we may have are too much for you to handle. Amen. The opening song is Lord, Listen to Your Children Praying.
Thank you.
Johnson, you may be seated.
Thank you. It's children's time. Do we have any here today? Looks like we have a bunch. It is our last Sunday school due to next week's soup luncheon, and then May 3rd we have confirmation. Oh my gosh, the whole gang showed up for those ice cream sundaes.
Yeah.
Awesome. Come on up. Trey, you gonna make it up here? All right.
Use one microphone at a time, Becky, because you sound like you're talking into a tin can.
Thank you for letting me know that. This is even on. How are you guys? Good. What's Wednesday, the 22nd of April? Anybody know it's coming up this week, Wednesday? Say that.
Earth Day.
Yeah. The 22nd is Earth Day. So, Blake, can you tell the kids what a bunch of people did at church yesterday?
Cleaned up the church.
Yeah, we cleaned up the church. We did a lot of landscaping. Blake and Ainsley were here, and then a bunch of adults, and we had an awesome turnout. So thank you for saying thank you to them, because there were so many, we would miss somebody.
Yeah,
it was a nice turnout. Yeah, it's Earth Day this week, Wednesday. And in Sunday school today, you're going to study Psalm 8. Okay. Well, Psalm 8 is a story or a song where we praise God and thank Him for this beautiful, beautiful earth. So part of the psalm is just thanking Him for the fish in the sea and all the animals and the plants and the beautiful sunshine and even the rain. Yeah, we had a little too much last week, but actually we had nothing compared to some of the other communities, so we're thankful for that. Psalm 8, though, lets us know that people... says something about having dominion over all the earth. Mm-hmm. And basically it means we have to take care of this place. Yeah. He provided us with this beautiful, gorgeous planet to live on, and now we have to take care of it. It's our responsibility to keep it clean. So I'm going to ask you a question. What are some ways you can help take care of our earth? Anybody? Raise your hand first so I can give you the mic.
You could clean up.
Yeah, we can clean up. What else can we do?
Recycle.
I think there was one over here, Becky.
Do you know what else we can do?
Okay. Pick up trash from the ground.
Pick up trash from the ground. Did you want to say something?
Pick up the trash from the ground.
Yeah, pick up the trash from the ground. That's perfect. I like echoes.
Reuse.
Yeah.
What's the other R? Do you know them? Recycle, reuse.
Reduce.
Say it again.
Reduce.
Exactly. And that's my next part, so he's on it.
Woohoo!
Yeah, reduce is like use less plastic bottles. Get your glass of water from the tap, from the sink.
Or how many of you use water bottles that you can refill?
Yeah.
Yeah? And how many of you know, this is really cool, how many of you know that we actually have a water bottle filler here at church?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you know?
So... The bubbler right by the kitchen, right, has a little thing that you can just put your water bottle down, and magically water just fills right into that water bottle.
Yeah. And another R is reuse. Reuse. That's like going to rummage sales, maybe a Bargains Galore place or a consignment shop. So we reuse things. We pass clothes on to our younger brothers and sisters and maybe cousins, that kind of stuff. Repair, fix things instead of buying, throwing out and buying new. I just had Noma Ramstead fix a whole bunch of stuff for me, and it's like it's brand new again because now I can wear it again.
Yeah.
And, of course, recycling that John mentioned. So all these things we just talked about are simple ways to take care of our earth and to honor God and all the beauty He provided us. Pastor Jacob, could you please lead us in prayer?
Absolutely. And one thing I'll say before that, one of my favorite things about Psalm 8 is that the psalmist says, "It's amazing, God, that you are mindful of us, that you think about us." And so because God thinks about us and loves us, we ought to love everything else that God made. And that's really important. And so Becky's going to be talking about that and about a little bit more about Earth Day and all of that. So let's pray together. I'm going to say a short phrase, and I invite you to repeat it back to me. Dear God, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for everything you've made. Help us take care of the earth and take care of each other so that your love shows in everything we do. Amen. Thank you.
Our first reading is from the letter to Romans, chapter 8, verses 15 through 17. Even though the letter was written in Greek, the Aramaic word Jesus used, Abba, survives the translation intact. It was such an important word for the early and sometimes oppressed Christian community who needed to understand the familial nature of their relationship to God. Romans 8, verses 15 through 17. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If we in fact suffer with him so that he may also be glorified with him. Our second reading from Mark 14, verses 35 and 36 is a moment when Jesus cried, Abba, once again, this time in agony over what he knew was about to happen to him. We can all remember moments when we wished our dear ones were nearby to comfort us. Mark 14, verses 35 and 36. And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want. Here end the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jane. My friends, will you pray with me? God, be in our heads and in our thinking. Be in my voice and in my speaking. Be in our hearts and in our loving. Speak through me or in spite of me for the benefit of your holy word. Amen. So as we continue our series on prayer this week, I'm going to take us back to an experience that probably most of us have some remembrance of in our own lives. So every night, I would pray, I would say two or three short little prayers, each in the same order, and I would sometimes even sing them. One of them revolved around thanking Jesus for the day that I had just had. It went like this. Thank you, Jesus, for this day to have the chance to learn and play. And then, of course, there was the prayer that most of us have probably said some version of, and you can say it with me if you want. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Now, I may not say the same words that I pray that when I was a child, when I go to bed now, but the spirit of those prayers still guides what I do say. I often, thank God for the day that I just had and for the the people in my life that I'm thankful for, or other good things going on in my life. And I pray for the people of this church. I pray for people that are special to me, and situations that are on my heart, whether in this country or the world or whatever. And as I remember my prayer life as a child, especially the prayers that I said at night before bed, I'm struck by how many of the prayers emphasized the relationship between Jesus and me. Not in a vain or self-centered way, but because that was how my childhood brain worked. That was how it was important for me to understand that I had a relationship with God, and that talking about the things that were important to me sort of helped me understand what that relationship meant. But as I got older, my parents started to encourage me to pray more often for people outside of my circle. I remember praying for family members who had cancer, or people who had just lost a pet, or who were grieving the loss of a loved one, you know, and then praying for people I had never met, people who didn't have enough to eat or didn't have enough to make ends meet. I understood prayer. I started to understand prayer later in life as sort of a balance between me and we. And I took whole classes in seminary revolved around leading a worship service and designing worship in such a way that helped draw people closer to God. And of course, worship services often involve lots of prayers. And so we learned how to write and say different forms of prayers. But sometimes I'm struck by the fact that some people's prayer life isn't that different from my childhood prayer experience. A lot of the prayers that a lot of people say revolve around something that they themselves want. Now, in general, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but sometimes some types of Christianity can preach a prosperity gospel that talk about prayer as a way of manifesting great wealth, and there are lots of issues with that. But especially in the conflicts that our country is facing right now with other countries, I've heard some of our country's leaders actually pray for our success in Iran and how we might vanquish our perceived enemies. And yet, Jesus himself taught us to pray for our enemies, not our victory over them. That, I think, has never been truly the point of prayer. Even if some of the psalmists prayed for their victory in times of war, it is biblical, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's not complicated. Over the years, some people have told me that part of the reason prayer is tricky for them is that it revolves so much around our self-centered desires, rather than the wider needs of the world and how we might be a part of God's liberating and justice-seeking love. Now, all of this is deeply nuanced and complicated. What does it all say about who we are as Christians or our relationship with God? Now, we're going to look at two different scriptures that speak about that relationship. And as we go through that, the message today, I want you to think about how the we and the me are deeply interconnected, praying for me can become catalysts for praying for we, you know, the healing of communities. So our first text comes from the book of Romans, where Paul talks about our individual relationships with God, the me. So Jesus models this using a word that he spoke for God. The Aramaic word for Abba is Father, and Aramaic is the language that Jesus very likely spoke, and it's a dead language now because if I knew how to speak Aramaic, I wouldn't be working here. I would be working somewhere else where I could make a whole bunch of money. But you know, that's not important right now, except maybe for the fact that I have a wedding in a year. But oh well, whatever. But some of these words of Aramaic have been left intact in the original Greek, this being one of them. A lot of people translate Abba as Father, and that's a good translation. But a former pastor of mine talked about maybe how different it would be if we didn't think about it so much as Father, but as Daddy. Right? It's a warmer, more familial term. And as a kid, when I learned about God as Daddy, it reminded me of the very warm relationship I have with my own dad. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't recognize that not everybody has warm relationships with their fathers, for one reason or the other. But I think the point in keeping the Aramaic word Abba, Father, Daddy, in our English biblical text is to remind modern readers of this very warm, close, intimate relationship that Jesus had with God. In the letter to the Romans, Paul also says that you and I have been adopted into that familial relationship that Jesus and God share, and that we're heirs, right? The other scripture takes a totally different tone and brings us into a little bit more of the we. So we heard this scripture most recently on Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, where Jesus essentially says, God, I don't want to do any of this, but you and I are in this together, and I'm committed to doing the work that we've promised to do with each other. And this is one of the most raw moments in the whole of the Gospels, where Jesus is dealing with some of his own reluctance. And I think a lot of us have been in that Gethsemane place, when we knew what faithfulness required and really, really didn't want to do it. But that's kind of the point. Jesus understands that this mission is bigger than himself, and he's modeling that same kind of faithfulness to us, the communities who are reading and listening and studying the way of love and liberation that the Bible professes. And this church understands how to do that pretty well, I think. That's exactly what our confirmation fundraiser is about. Helping people find places where the we and the me come together to bring us closer to God and to one another. And, you know, this is a fundraiser specifically highlighting the rare and amazing camp programs that our conference has to offer, both for children and adults. And it's also a really special place for me, where I found pieces of my faith and worked for a while, and I ended up finding my future wife at this camp, which is lovely. So, and We've done the work in other ways, through partnering with the food pantry and with REACH and with other organizations around here that help other people in this community fulfill their basic needs. Food, shelter, love, you know, things like that. So as you go into this week, I invite you to say two different prayers. One for yourself, how God has been present in your life and the things that you need. And then one for a community that you've never met. A community far away who needs God's love and care in a special way. There are all sorts of people all sorts of situations that we can be thinking about and praying for. Because, friends, we are not separate from people who are hungry or wounded or in need. Some of us have been there too. I'm about to share a song with you that my friend and seminary professor Christopher Grundy wrote. It's called Leaning In, which he calls a prayer of intention. I'll invite you to sing along with me as you learn it if you want to. And the impetus behind this song was that he wanted to help congregations understand that when we say prayers for other people, we are not separate from them. So remember, my friends, that prayer is not an isolated act. It's an act of love for the whole world. It's the me and the we. May your whole life be a prayer. And may your prayers lead to liberation and healing for a hurting world. Thanks be to God. Amen. So this is one of my favorite prayer songs, and I've wanted to find a way to use it for a while, and this just kind of works really well. So I'm gonna actually have Alana. I'm gonna have you go a couple slides to your right. To the one that says, all our hearts and minds are leaning in with clear intention. 'Cause this is your part. So your part goes like this, if you'd like to sing.
All our hearts and minds are leaning in with clear intention.
Try that with me, all our hearts.
All our hearts and minds are leaning in with clear intention. Joining in your way of love in the world.
You'll have a few chances at this with a couple of different words. I got a verse.
We pray for the lonely ones, knowing that some of us are lonely. And we pray for the heartbroken ones, knowing that some of us are heartbroken.
All our hearts.
In the world.
Very good. needed ones, knowing that some of us are wounded. And we pray for the regretful ones, knowing that some of us are regretful. Got that, those lyrics a little wrong, sorry. And we pray for the starving ones, knowing that some of us are starving. And we pray for the imprisoned ones, knowing that some of us. Song. Let's see, oh, it was just your shoe. Sorry, Sue, I thought I spilled your coffee, but it was just your shoe. So that's good. All is well. Let's take a few moments of silence to think about those people and situations that are on our hearts. Amen. I have a few people that I'm aware of people we need to be thinking about and praying for. And then, if you like, I will bring a microphone around so that you can share anything that's on your own hearts and minds. So the service for Daryl Amberg was yesterday at the Rock, and it was a beautiful beautiful service. And if there was ever a service that was supposed to be a celebration of life, that was it. Probably the most celebratory celebration of life I have ever presided over. There were so many great stories shared of all of building and teaching that Daryl did over the over the years, and all of the ways he was a massive jokester. So give thanks for that that celebration, and we hold Carla and Robin and Jeff, their kids, and all of the other family, their grandkids and others, who are holding Daryl in love today. God in your mercy. And also, of course, for Mike and Deb Hammer, as they navigate Mike's hospice journey with pancreatic cancer, and that he might have a graceful transition. God in your mercy. And also yesterday was a special service for our family. My Uncle Tom is here with us this morning because he hear from us from Cincinnati. A couple of you have probably met him a couple of other times. And his last living aunt, my great aunt, Seal Evenson, was remembered in a service celebrating her life yesterday, as she died a week or so ago from complications of congestive heart failure and dementia. So for all of our family, as we remember Seal with love, God in your mercy. Any other prayers this morning? Tracy's got one. Alana's coming with a microphone there, Tracy.
I've actually got three joys this week. My son, my father-in-law, and my daughter all celebrated birthdays.
Woohoo! For Dennis and for Blake and for Ashlyn and the wonderful ways that their lives enrich all of ours here at this church. God in your mercy.
We should also receive our prayers for Harriet Laird, who is going towards her end of her life and doing quite well, though I understand. And she was a great member of this church and did a lot for us. So. Yeah,
indeed. For Harriet and for Jim, God in your mercy.
How about for all those people that were affected by the tornadoes recently and may have had some damage?
Indeed, yes. My fiance had all sorts of flooding and everything near her school district as well. So for all of those who are dealing with the aftermath of all of that, tornadoes and floods and all sorts of things, God in your mercy. Thank you, Lisa. Anything else today? Chris, you got anything on Zoom?
Yes.
Okay.
Prayers for thanks to the gang that installed Paul's wheelchair ramp, whether he wanted it or not, is Laura's words. I want to thank Rick Van Hoff, Mark Nickel, Jeff Tukach, and also my Uncle Kyle, who helped out with that last Tuesday, Monday and Tuesday. Hmm. So thank you.
And Bill Wiggins, sorry.
Yes, good. And just to repeat that on the microphone for anybody who didn't hear it, Rick said that if anyone needs a wheelchair ramp, they had lots of sections left. So if you need that, please talk to Rick. So for the ways that community comes together and creates more accessibility, in this case for Paul and Laura, God in your mercy.
Yeah.
Anything else? Then let's be in a time of prayer together. God, in your grace and love, you remind us that prayer is always about the we and the me, and how we pray for each other, how we work with each other, that we may have a better world through our community action, that we may have a better world through our continued sharing of love and justice in the world. There are so many people in our community and in our wider circles of care, oh God, who deserve our gratitude and who need our prayers and who need our presence in this time that they are experiencing. Be with all of them, that they may continue to understand your love in the midst of their difficulty and experience your grace in moments of love and giving and hope. And we pray for people far away from here, for people in the line of duty in places like Iran, who are fighting a war they didn't ask for, for people who don't have their basic needs met, for people for whom there is too much month left at the end of the money, for people who are recovering after tornadoes and flooding and other storms, other natural disasters. We pray for those who are discriminated against because of systems they did not create and situations they cannot control. We ask you to be with all of us as we do our best to make a better world through our love, through our faithfulness, through our community action. We pray all of this in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, who showed us the way even to death and to new life and taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. If you'd like to make an offering this morning, you can do so as the ushers come around with the offering plate. You may also give online at uccwaupun.net. But however you give, may you do so remembering that your gift will benefit not only this local church, but also the church universal. This morning's offering will now be received. me in the prayer of dedication. Holy One, receive these gifts as offerings to the wider community. You provide for us in the same way we have been cared for by countless loved ones. Help us widen our own circles of care and solidarity, providing with love and generosity to all who are in need of love and hope. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 719, Go My Children with My Blessing. My friends, receive these words of benediction. May you go from this place remembering that your prayer life is and your faith life is always about the me and the we. Remember that God loves you and that God will take care of you, and also that God reminds us that it is our job to love one another and to take care of one another. May you go mindful of all of these things to continue to share your love and light with a world in need. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.